Sunday Morning's Thoroughbred Magazine. For the next hour, we're talking horses. Here's Joe McKinnon.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Talking Horses. It was a stunning spring day in Melbourne yesterday, and racing at headquarters produced one of the most memorable Group 1 performances you'll see. Champion mare Winx lined up at Flemington for the first time and won the Turnbull in a hand canter, taking her long winning streak to 21. Now the stage is set at Moonee Valley for the Ladbrokes Cox Plate, where in 3 weeks' time she'll be aiming to equal Kingston Town's record 3 consecutive wins in Australia's Weight for Age Championship. The build-up began as soon as she crossed the line yesterday, and the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club, Michael Brow, is bracing himself for what will be a huge day. Michael is our first guest on Talking Horses this morning.
A sign moves up on the outside of Sir Isaac Newton. A length Ventura Storm Weeks. Bowman hasn't flinched. He's doing it easily. And then came Humidor, Magical and Skyfire across the track at the 300. Winx has ambled up on the outside. Racing Royalty goes to the lead. Racing's Wonder of the World puts up 2 lengths, 3 lengths. Ventura Storm followed by a sign, but it's all Winx. 5 or 6 lengths in front. Look at her go with 100 metres to go. 21 today on the biggest dance floor of them all. Winx by 8 lengths. Ventura Storm second, Humidor third.
Good morning, Michael. Well, I guess that's the result you would have been hoping for along with the rest of us.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. I'd say yesterday there was a little bit of trepidation, though, with Humidor in the race. Incredible to think after she's come out and won by 6.5 lengths that she paid $1.20. Not that that's the best indication, but I think for racing and for the Winx connections, it's great to see her tick off that win at Flemington.
So dominant it was, too.
She goes okay fourth up, doesn't she? I mean, I think if you have a look at the last four preparations, she's had a Doncaster, she's had a Cox Plate, she's had a Queen Elizabeth, and then a Turnbull Stakes. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back through and have a look when she's run fifth up, but she just keeps getting better and better, bigger and stronger, and everyone's looking forward to seeing her come out to Moonee Valley in 3 weeks' time for the Cox Plate.
Wasn't it wonderful yesterday to see such a huge crowd in attendance to welcome her to Flemington?
It was. The day had a fantastic vibe. I saw the crowd just over 20,000, which was probably the highest crowd they've had Turnbull Stakes Day for the last 10 or 12 years. And it was just brilliant to see her step out. She looked at the top of her game. You know, all credit to Chris and Hugh and the team, and I think it's just fantastic to get her to Melbourne for that last lead-up run. We've had a taste of it now, and let's see the grand final in a few weeks' time.
Michael, you must feel like you're very much a part of this journey because the Cox Plate is her ultimate aim this campaign. You would have been riding every furlong yesterday.
Yesterday wasn't too difficult. The first three races of this campaign haven't beaten that easy. And you're right, the whole team out at the Valley, we've had a lot invested in Winx over the past 2 years. The club's invested heavily in the marketing campaign this year around the three-peat. There's only been 5 horses try to win 3 Cox Plates, and the last, of course, was Sunline back in 2001, and then she came back in 2002. So it's a rare opportunity, and we're really looking forward to seeing how it all unfolds over the next 3 weeks.
Well, many are saying, including her most important connections, the trainer and the jockey, that she's bigger and better than ever going into this Cox Plate.
Yeah, we had the official launch of the Ladbrokes Cox Plate Carnival on Thursday night, and it was fantastic to have Chris and Hugh there, and they normally hold their cards very close to their chest, and after the 3 runs that she had to kick off the campaign, there was a little bit of a question mark on whether she was at the absolute top of her game. And just towards the end of the interview, Chris had a little bit of a wry smile, and he sort of let the cat out of the bag when he said that he didn't think that they'd had Winx any better. So 10 kilos heavier than what she has been this time last year, bigger, stronger, and she's just so dominant. So I think it augurs well for her crack at matching Kingston Town's famous three-peat of Cox Plate wins.
Mm-hmm. So has the sold-out sign gone up yet?
The general admission tickets all fly now over the next few weeks. The hospitality is almost 100% sold out. We've had to open up some new facilities. So punters that want to come along and witness history at the Valley on October 28th for Ladbrokes Cox Plate, jump on the website, coxplate.com.au, and secure your general admission ticket.
Mm. The atmosphere the past 2 years of the Cox Plate where she's won has been incredible enough, but how will it be on this day in 3 weeks' time?
I'm sure you've been to many Cox Plates, Joe. Mm. I'm not sure how many you worked when you were at the Valley. It's quite a special place, and you know, the atmosphere that can be generated with the Valley, it's an electricity that you don't get at other racetracks. And like even at Flemington yesterday, you felt the energy of the crowd. But when she comes around that home corner at Moonee Valley, and it's like a wave. It starts at the top hill there at Legends. It comes down through the crowd. It comes down through the grandstand. It'll be an incredible atmosphere. We saw it, of course. I think in my time at the Valley, at Black Caviar, William Reid Stakes, March 2013, that's probably the best indication of what we're in for. It'll be on track for the Cox Plate. You'll never forget what you'll experience if Winx happens to kick four clear on the home corner.
Mm. Yeah, Michael, I worked at 5 Cox Plates. I think for me, well, they're all memorable, but the one that stood out during my experience was the year that Mackaybe Diva won the race. And she has a similar sort of following to a Winx. Something about the mares at the Valley and the Cox Plate in this modern era, isn't there?
Well, you have a look at since the turn of the millennium, Sunline, Mackaybe Diva, of course, Black Caviar, now Winx. So we've been spoiled.
Mm. It's going to be an incredible day. Let's just keep our fingers crossed that we get similar weather to what we had at Flemington yesterday.
Everything else is planned to the second. So the team's done a fantastic job. It all now rests with Marty Sine and the racetrack manager. We've put the order in, 25 degrees and sunny. Let's see if he can deliver.
And a documentary series being commissioned by Ladbrokes that's airing on Channel 7. The first of them went to air yesterday, featuring the bone crusher Al Waverley star, Clash Michael. And the crescendo will come on Cox Plate Day with the Winx piece. Really looking forward to that one.
I'm looking forward to seeing it too. So the material's there. We've got the personalities. I think all credit to Chris Hugh and the connections. Peter Tai and Deb Capetus in particular, we saw it once again, similar to Black Caviar. These horses become part of the nation. And Peter and Deb, Chris and Hugh, they've done everything they possibly can to promote Winx and to promote racing. They're great ambassadors for the sport, and they're bringing everybody else along for the ride. So all credit to them, and we appreciate all they've done.
Yeah, I agree. They have been absolutely superb, and I was so impressed with Hugh's words after the race yesterday on the Channel 7 coverage. His expression and calmness in the hype of it all was quite remarkable.
Well, if he's not the best jockey in the world, he's definitely top two or three. And to see that, I think it was... He jumped on after the Sunshine Coast Guineas, I think, so he's had the... Of the 21 consecutive wins, he's had 20 of them. She racked up a 14th Group 1 yesterday. And if she wins the Cox Plate, she becomes the greatest prize money earner in the history of racing. And all that wouldn't be possible without Hugh sitting in the saddle and Chris putting the polish on her. They certainly are a fantastic team.
Yeah. And also at the launch this week, Michael, Darryl Braithwaite performed, and he'll be there on Cox Plate Day singing the anthem Horses.
He will. He was the highlight of the show there on Thursday night. It's synonymous with the Cox Plate, isn't it? Horses, and even his other song too that he sings. I know it's the B track, but as the days go by, so we put all the historical vision up of the great Cox Plates in history, and he certainly does G the crowd up when he comes out to perform.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Make sure you're there, Joe.
I'll be there with bells on, Michael. And all the best to you and your team. You've done such a wonderful job thus far. And the next 3 weeks, really enjoy it, because the stage is set now. You've just got to wait for her to roll through the gate.
Yeah, the team at Moonee Valley has done a fantastic job. We're very fortunate, but when you've got a horse like Winx to work with, it's hard to muck it up.
Yeah. All right, look forward to seeing you in a few weeks' time.
Too good, thank you, Joe.
That's Michael Brow, the CEO of the Moonee Valley Racing Club, looking forward to Winx going for the three-peat in the Cox Plate in 3 weeks' time.
The home of spring racing, RSN 927.
A superb day of racing at Flemington yesterday, and the undercard had many highlights, including the Maribyrnong Trial Stakes, a listed race over 1,000 metres, won by Numatharsh from Lindsay Park Racing, a two-year-old filly by Snitzel out of an elusive quality mare, Real Stolly. Rainier and Sunlight were second and third. The listed Antler Luggage Stakes over 1,400 metres, won very impressively by the lovely Snitzel colt Snitzerpeg from the Darren Weir team. He was sold through the 2016 English Premier Yearling Sale for $260,000 and is a relation to winners Baumkuchen, Metallic Crown, Pegasus Miss and Queen Pin. The listed UCI Stakes over 1,800 metres and Main State has now installed himself as the early favourite for the Victoria Derby after a very good win from well back. He's trained by Trent Bussett and Natalie Young. He's a three-year-old gelding by Reliable Man out of a prized mare, Kiri, and is a relation to a horse going through the New Zealand Bloodstock ready-to-run sale of two-year-olds. He's also related to winners Augustus and Karina Bell. The Group 2 Gilguy Stakes over 1,200 metres and Keen Array looked impressive, winning for Lindsay Park Racing, a five-year-old son of Bella Spree out of a Zabil mare, Morea. He was sold at the 2014 English Premier Yearling Sales Session 2 for $30,000. Winning siblings include Tiara. The Group 1 Turnbull Stakes, Winx making it 21 straight. The six-year-old mare by Street Cry out of the beautiful mare Vegas Showgirl, a daughter of Al Akbar. She was, of course, sold at the 2013 Magic Millions Gold Coast Yearling Sale for $230,000. And her best winning relation, El Divino. The Group 2 Edward Manifold Stakes over the mile. Tony McAvoy's Bring Me Roses Too Good, a three-year-old filly by High Chaparral out of a Polish Patriot mare, Freckled Face. Winning siblings include Fastnet Cove, Freckle Face, Jove and Rock Face. The Group 3 Bart Cummings over 2,500 metres, won by Darren Weir's Emily Star, a six-year-old mare by Testa Rossa, out of a Zabil mare, Zazita. And the Group 2 Blazer Stakes over 1,400 metres, won by Robert Smurden's Now or Later, a five-year-old daughter of Bushranger, out of a pivotal mare, Queen of the Fairies. And Race 9, final event at Flemington yesterday, was the Paris Lane Handicap, a listed affair over 1,400 metres. It was won by Murray Johnson's Pure Pride, a five-year-old mare by Shocking, out of a Shinko King mare, Mamasan, not offered at the yearling sales. A relation to a winner, Aquisto. And that's a look at Turnbull Stakes Day at Flemington yesterday. A memorable one with Winx making it 21 straight. And at Randwick in Sydney yesterday, feature racing included the Group 2 Roman Consul Stakes run over 1,200 metres. Godolphin's three-year-old colt by Poet's Voice, Viridine, was too good. He's out of an Anabar mare, Patina, a relation to a winner, Copper. The Group 1 Mowat and Shandon Spring Champion Stakes over 2,000 metres, won by David Payne's Ace High. He's a colt by High Chaparral out of a Redoute's Choice mare come Sunday. He was sold through the 2016 Magic Millions Gold Coast Yearling Sale for $130,000. The Group 3 Angst Stakes run over a mile, won by Ronnie Quinton's five-year-old mare, Dixie Blossom. She's in great form at the moment, this daughter of Street Sense, out of a Starway mare, Whistle Dixie. And that's a look at the feature races from Sydney yesterday. Welcome back to the program. Next week's Magic Millions Gold Coast two-year-olds in training sale will feature 295 exciting prospects, with buyers looking to secure their next Group 1 star at the best performing Breeze Up style auction in Australasia, as it's been dubbed. Vin Cox from Magic Millions joining us this morning. How are you, Vin?
Yeah, good morning, Joe. I'm very well, isn't it?
How have all the preparations been going?
Look, with a show like this, any show really, it starts about 2 or 3 months out. With this show in particular, it really starts in earnest when you get the horses on the track. So about 2 weeks ago, we had the first of the breeders at Seymour, and then another lot on the Gold Coast, and then Warwick Farm. So in 3 different states, and we've got another breeze up session on Monday before the sale starts on Tuesday.
And there's been a couple of horses that have breezed very well.
Oh, yeah. You're always going to get a bunch. And look, like any year, we hope to get a whole lot of horses that run good time. But as Michael Friedman said in an interview I saw during the week, it's not entirely about the times that they run. He likes to have a look at their action. There are plenty of buyers out there that prefer to assess their action rather than looking at the times of the horses.
Mm. How's the overall quality of sales like this changed in recent years? Is it getting better?
Oh, it is, Joe. It's up until probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, it was still a fairly immature market by comparison to, say, our Northern Hemisphere counterparts, where they've got a very sophisticated 2-year-old sales season. We're very much getting towards that stage. And now we're selling Group 1 winners. We sold a Group 1 winner out of last year's sale in Capital Gain. In the past, you could nearly accuse it of not quite being a coal sort of sale, but just not getting that high-end product. And now we've got vendors that is their total model, or the total business model, is buying yearlings and training them on as two-year-olds. And when you've got that, you know that the market has matured, and people are there, and their primary MO is to sell their horses. So in the past, they may have held on to them. So it has turned a real corner.
Mm. And, of course, the best way to change perception positively is to have graduates go on and win races, and they have been from this sale all over the world. Horses like Pardo and a Hong Kong-trained horse, Amusing City, and various winners from Singapore that have come through this sale.
Yeah. In fact, in the last 5 years, we've sold 36 stakes performers. Out of our 2-year-old sale, which is, it's a good indication as to the quality of horses that we're now getting in that sale.
Mm. So is the market now more skewed towards the domestic buying bench, or is this a sale that generally attracts those Asian buyers with wanting ready-made racehorses?
Oh, it definitely caters for the Asian buyer, no question. And we'll get strong participation from Hong Kong, Singapore. We've got a big group coming this year from the Philippines, Macau, and Korea. But we do work very hard on attracting our local buyer. I mean, the thing is, we've got a bunch of horses that are Vobis qualified, Bob's qualified, Cutis qualified, and it gives an opportunity for guys that have missed out on a horse through the year to get on a horse that's ready-made, it's broken in, it's galloped up, and you don't have to go and give hundreds of thousands of dollars for them. There's plenty of them sell for sub-$50,000.
So Capital Gain's been a great advertisement for this sale, and the majority of the horses offered, of course, are eligible for the Singapore Golden Horseshoe Series?
That's correct. The Golden Horseshoe Series is something that was developed by Ozhorse, ourselves, and our opposition, where if they're sold as yearlings at one of our sales, in an Australian sale, they are eligible for the Golden Horseshoe Series. It's a very lucrative bonus, so we get a lot of interest from our Singapore owners and Singapore trainers.
And the sale will be held, of course, over 2 days.
That's correct. Starting on Tuesday, we've got breeze ups on Monday on the Gold Coast. Some 85 odd horses going down on Monday morning. We start selling on Tuesday morning, then again on Wednesday, and on the end of Wednesday session, we have around 30 odd racehorses to sell as well.
And no doubt preparations well underway, of course, for the big sale in January. How's the lead up thus far been, Vin?
Oh, well, it's been fantastic. We've had the last couple of months out of the field inspecting the yearlings, and the entries have been startling, and the quality is going to another level again. I know we say it every year, but the support we've got from the leading breeders around the country is just fantastic. And While we're a little way from releasing the catalogue, we're probably a good month away yet, we're very excited and can't wait to get it out into people's hands.
Its arrival is always eagerly anticipated, isn't it?
Oh, it is, you know, and rightly so. It's the quality of horses that we do sell through our generous sale, it does, horses like Winks, etc. It's fantastic advertisement for us and makes it very easy to promote our sales year on year.
Thanks for talking to us on the program, Vin, and there's no doubt we'll be talking to you a bit over the next couple of months.
Great to talk to you, Joe. Look forward to catching up.
That's Vin Cox from Magic Millions. Their 2-year-olds in training sale starts next Tuesday. Australia's most prestigious event for female equestrians, the Gary Owen, was judged during the week at the Royal Melbourne Show. And the winner, Catherine Neal, joins us on Talking Horses. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Joe.
Congratulations. What a great honour.
Thank you. Yes, it is. I'm extremely honoured to have won such a prestigious event.
A lot of hard work goes into this.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a lot of hours and, as I say, a lot of blood, sweat and tears, but that's horses for you.
Mm. Was it a pleasant surprise?
Oh, absolutely. It was so unexpected. I was just sort of aiming to get in the placing somewhere and, I think when they got to the second place getter, this disappointment came over me thinking, oh, I didn't even get in the top six. And, then they read out my name as the winner and, oh, my God, the shock was just... I just was shaking.
Yeah. Well, I had the privilege of being one of the judges, and my job for our listeners was to judge the conformation and the soundness of the horses. And your horse, SLM Mercedes, lined up beautifully on the day, looked superb and worked perfectly and really ticked all the boxes for me as a Gary Owen type of mount.
Yeah, he is. He really is what I would call the ideal mount for the Gary Owen. Like, he's just, he's big, he carries you around the arena beautifully, he's just got that elegance about him. So for me, the Gary Owen's just the perfect event for him.
Mm. And it's all got to come together on the day, doesn't it? Because they don't always work well.
No. Well, I mean, they are living, breathing animals underneath you and, things can just, you know, pop up on the arena that they might not like on the day, or, you know, they might just not be in the right mood for you. So, we just have to work around that. But fortunately for me, he was just very, he was willing to work with whatever I did with him on that day. And, could not have asked anything more from him.
Mm. He's very typical of the breed Zabeel. That's his sire, of course. A big, tall bay horse.
Absolutely, yeah. When you look at photos of Zabeel, they are actually very similar. He looks a lot like his daddy, but all his types there. Yeah, that big, beautiful, strong horses, and they've all got a bit of quirkiness about them and their temperaments. But I've been able to sort of work around that with SLM Mercedes. But yeah, they all seem to have a bit of a funny temperament.
Yeah, the Zabeels can be a bit hot, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the butter wouldn't have melted in his mouth that day.
Beg your pardon?
Butter wouldn't have melted in his mouth at the Royal Show in the Gary Owen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, he just turned it on. It was just like he knew what was going on and thought, yep, Mum, I'll do the job for you. And, he was absolutely perfect, like, even with the photographers and everything, he can normally get a bit antsy and sort of doesn't really like to stand still, but he just, it was like he just knew what was going on. He was just perfect all day.
Mm. Do you know much about his racing history?
I know he was trained by Sheila Laxton, but he only had a few starts. From the looks of it, didn't really show much in the races, but... so his career was quite short, and I think he finished up as a 3-year-old.
Mm. And how did you come to get him?
He's been around the show circuit for quite a few years now, and I did see him advertised probably about 3 or 4 years ago. and I've always loved him, always loved the horse. But then other people bought him, and I was sort of kicking myself at the time that I maybe should have gone to look at him. And then the previous owners, they only had him for about 12 months, advertised him again, and Mum said, why don't you just go have a ride, like you always look at him. And so I did, and we just clicked. And he's extremely picky with his riders, and yeah, can be very quirky. So I don't know, as his owners, the McMaster family, they said it was a match made in heaven. Like, we just seemed to hit it off.
And that seemed very evident to me at the event. You both do have a very good rapport.
Yes. Yeah, we do. And look, he can be, yeah, as you said, he can be a little bit hot. He can be a bit of an anxious sort of horse. I'm very calm and very relaxed. So I think we sort of complement each other. He can't take a rider that's going to get nervous or, yeah, get upset easily. So, yeah, we're just sort of the yin and yang.
Your life's very busy and interesting because horses are not the absolute centre point of it. So it's your hobby. You're an international flight attendant. How do you fit all of this in?
With difficulty sometimes. Sleep isn't high on the priority list sometimes. But, I mean, I seem to make it work. I have a couple of horses in work at the moment, and, yeah, I seem to juggle both, but it can become very tiring. But I love both, you know, love flying, and I love the horses. So, yeah, I just keep pushing through.
And amazingly, between winning the Gary Owen last Sunday and this interview, you have done a long-haul trip to LA.
Yeah, had a few days off after the Gary Owen, and then Wednesday morning... flew to LA and, yeah, got back this morning. So, that's pretty much my life. I'm normally away for work, come back, go to get ready for a show, and away for a couple of shows, go back to work again. So I'm not home very often at all.
And so what are the plans over the next couple of months? Because the Royal Agricultural season, you know, is in full swing now between this period and Christmas. Will you do a few of those shows? And then what are the plans for next year?
So I'll do a few agricultural shows. And then I also have, I'm representing Victoria in the off-the-track national championships in November at Werribee Park. With SLM Mercedes, he qualified for that at the start of the year. So, so that will be exciting, and, yeah, hoping he does well there. And, and then the start of next year will be, a lot of the big events, a lot of Barrastock state titles, Canberra Royal Show, and then going on to the Grand Nationals in Sydney around Easter time. So, this is just the start of the season.
It is. And will you be looking to source directly off the racetrack horses in the future, or is that something you have time to do or will do more of now that you've had success with a horse like him that's raced before?
Yes, I do enjoy training horses off the track. The other two horses I've got in work at the moment are off the track, and we bred them, and my family raced them. So, I do enjoy the training side of it as well as the competing, and I love training young horses and, seeing where they go and just seeing them improve. And, and thoroughbreds, they're just perfect for that. You know, they can be so eager to learn and, smart and on the job. And, it's a joy to watch them grow.
And it's great to see that off-the-track thoroughbreds are being more publicly embraced now as horses that can go on beyond the racetrack into all sorts of disciplines and be successful.
Absolutely, it's great to see, all disciplines, eventing and show jumping and, showing and dressage, it's all over. It's really good to see the support for the off-the-track horses.
Well, you've now won one of the highest accolades possible in Australian equestrian, the Gary Owen. You're still pinching yourself? Has it sunk in?
Absolutely not. It has not sunk in. I still cannot believe it. But the support, and I just can't believe how lovely people have been and how happy they have been for me to win. I am getting constant phone calls and messages, and it's just so lovely that people are, they're so proud of me. So, it's been really lovely.
Mm. How many Gary Owens, if at all, had you competed in prior to this year?
I'd been in 3 Gary Owens prior to this year. 2 of them was a while ago when I was 18 and 19, and then just last year and then this year. So, I took a bit of a break and, came back when I thought I had the horse to do it.
Okay, we'll probably see you in the event again next year.
Yes, possibly.
Very good. Well, great to catch up with you, Catherine. Once again, congratulations. Well deserved. You were a real standout in the event, and good luck if you go around again next year.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Joe.
That's Catherine Neal, the winner of the prestigious Gary Owen Equestrian Turnout at the Royal Melbourne Show last weekend. Peter, congratulations. 21 straight now for Winx. How did you enjoy yesterday out at Flemington?
Oh, it was a great day, Joe. The crowd was fantastic. People everywhere, kids with flags and hats, and women in their blue and white colours. It was just an amazing spectacle, and we enjoyed the whole day. It was great for Winx, and it was certainly great for racing.
Mm. It would have been memorable for so many different reasons to her other wins, I'm sure. Her first time to Flemington. But the crowd yesterday, there was something different about the energy of the day, wasn't there? The people were just in absolute awe of her, and they were there in their thousands. It's the biggest crowd we've seen for that race day at Flemington in many, many years.
Yeah, it was. We came down from Brisbane on Wednesday, and it's been quite a build-up Thursday and Friday. There's been quite a lot of activity in the media, as you know, and everywhere we went, people were happy to talk about her, and everybody told us they were going to the races. And to be honest, I think everybody did turn up. It was just sensational. I didn't expect to sort of see that many people there. And we were more than happy to be at Flemington. We absolutely love coming down to Melbourne, and Flemington, you know, we respect as probably being the home of racing. It's just a phenomenal place to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the VRC turned it on for the crowd, and they turned it on for us, and they turned it on for the horse. So everybody was a winner on the day.
What were your expectations from a racing point of view going into the race yesterday? She was meeting an interesting field, and Humidor was considered the greatest challenger to that winning streak.
Yeah, well, myself, I thought, you know, he'd give us a pretty good test. We were coming into his backyard, and he's won some pretty nice races there at Flemington. So we were sort of fairly wary of him. We didn't know how it would unfold, obviously. But Chris, to his credit, had trained her, you know, right to the exact point where he wanted her to be. And from the track work during the week, Hugh couldn't have been any more happy with her. And they just said there was nothing more they could do. The best horse was going to win, and she was going to be in peak physical condition. So, we were a bit apprehensive to start with, and as it unfolded, it's one of those, after the last 21 times, we say to ourselves, what were we worried about?
Mm. She did it so easily, didn't she?
She did. She seems to just flourish when she comes to Melbourne. She has been stable at Flemington at Chris Wallace Stables there for the last 2 years, nearly 3 years now, since she came down for a first Caulfield race, and then onto the Cox Plate the first year, and she just seems to pick up. I don't know. We sort of think it's like going to the Gold Coast for a holiday. It's she comes down and the ears prick up, and she just relaxes. And you know, the track work suggests that she's really enjoying herself. And the tracks in Sydney were getting a bit hard, not just for her, but for all of the horses. And to come down here with just that little bit of give in the ground made her happier as well. So that reflected in her track work last Monday. Mm. And just carried on all week, and her attitude was, she was a cheeky self, as she always is.
Mm. She's like the perfect spring rose at the moment. She's blossomed at the right time, with the Cox Plate her main target just 3 weeks away now.
Yeah, no, it's all systems are go now. We've we're happy where she is. She hasn't got to do a hell of a lot more, you know, to get ready for the Cox Plate. So Chris and the team will just keep her ticking over nicely, and she'll follow her usual routine. And if she stays as happy as she was for the Turnbull, we'll look out for the Cox Plate.
The build-up's been quite phenomenal, hasn't it? The next couple of weeks in particular, it's really going to step up a couple of notches.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, we're looking forward to the whole thing. It's going to be great. It's going to be a spectacle for horse racing. There's interest in Victoria and the rest of Australia and now around the world. People from all walks of life are getting involved, and, you know, it really makes you... You know, the hairs on the back of your neck rise when you think that, you know, she's dragging people to the races. That the people were there yesterday, I know, that have never been to the races before. It was their first time at Flemington. It was their first time at the races. We met plenty of them, and they're really enjoying the spectacle. So, I mean, if that's what it can do for horse racing, if that's what she can do, that's what we wanted to keep doing.
We are so privileged that a horse like Winx should come along. Only not so long after a horse like Black Caviar, we've been absolutely blessed, haven't we?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we were one of the mad crowd that, you know, loved following Black Caviar, you know, and we just thought how good she was for racing, and she brought people to the races. She made people aware of, you know, what this sport's all about, and for our girl to be able to continue doing that, it's just amazing. And obviously, it's a privilege for us to be part of it. And we definitely do keep pinching ourselves, and you know, like this morning, it'll just be like coming out of shock, really, at realising that it's happened again, and we'll take it all in and prepare for our next assignment.
Does it feel surreal still?
It does. It really does. You know, it's really hard to imagine back to, you know, was it May 2015 when it all started? We've been on this journey, and it just keeps going, and there's moments or times where she's out spelling and it goes quiet, and we just sort of get a bit of a break and think about other things for a while, and then it all heats up again. It starts, you know, weeks from when she races. So it's a big build up, and it's something that, you know, you can't prepare yourself for. Nobody could know what's going to happen, you know, and we're just learning and enjoying as we go along. So you know, we're finding, like I say, more and more people getting involved, and they're enjoying and they're learning as well. And, you know, right as far as I think Chris said yesterday, that there's no rule book for training a Winx, and he's learning what it's like to have a horse of her ability, and horse and rider. You know, Huey just says she comes out and she's different, and so just an amazing ride.
Do you ever get nervous, Peter? Your exterior is very calm, a bit like Hugh Bowman, actually, similar natured people. But behind the scenes, do you get a little bit anxious as this winning streak continues and all the pressure that goes with it builds?
Oh, absolutely. It's, I try to keep my feet on the ground, because it's you really don't know when something like this is going to end. And, you know, one day we'll have to go back to a normal life. So, I just want to keep it. I want to enjoy it. I want to keep it real. And as it builds closer to the race, the expectations are so high on horse trainer and jockey, and for her to keep a winning streak going, it's like everyone says now. It's a real relief when she gets the job done and it's over. So we can enjoy it because it's just everybody. I believe everybody wants her to keep winning, you know, because it is such a great team and such a feat. You know, the Black Caviar story, everybody knows that. And, you know, trying to follow in the footsteps there is a big thing in itself.
And how's Richard Trawick, one of her other owners, faring at the moment? Is it likely that he'll be able to make it along for Cox Plate Day?
Well, that's his aim at this stage. I mean, as pretty well documented, Richard's, you know, he's 86, 87, I think, now, and he's in not the best of health. And he's really trying to come down and be there for Cox Plate Day. And we're hoping that, you know, the gods will smile on him and he'll feel good that he can come down, because he's got 87 family and friends, I think it is, at this stage, coming to the race. They have done for the last couple of years, had a big day out, you know, and that's what, when you're an owner, that's what it's about, you know, sharing it with your family and your friends. And he's got a massive throng coming, so I'm hoping that he'll yeah, he'll be feeling good on that day or a few days before he makes the trek down, because he's certainly been part of the team, and it's a shame that he's actually hasn't been able to come on these bigger race days.
And it's his turn to hold the trophy aloft if she should win.
Absolutely, absolutely. Three of us, and hopefully number three will be there for him. And yeah, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But if the right thing should happen, well, you know, good luck to Richard. And you know, we're hoping he's holding that trophy aloft and he's there in person. It would be great for all of us.
Peter, thanks so much for joining us on the program this morning and being so open with the public and the media on this incredible journey with Winx. So we're all enjoying the ride with you.
Oh, Joe, look, thanks very much. And, you know, just everybody knows that, you know, that this is a show for everybody. It's not just about us, that's for sure. It's about racing, it's about the racing public, and it's about everyone in general. So we're just happy to enjoy the show and enlighten as many people as we can about what it's like. So thanks for having us on.
Good luck on Cox Plate Day.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Bye now.
That's Peter Tai, owner of Winx. The countdown is on to the Cox Plate and her aim to equal the record of the great Kingston Town, winning the race 3 consecutive years. It looks more than likely she'll be able to do so. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses. I hope you enjoyed the program and our big focus on the champion mare, Winx. Can't wait for the Cox Plate in 3 weeks' time. Thanks to our guests this morning, Michael Brow from the Moonee Valley Racing Club, Peter Tai, Vin Cox from Magic Millions, and Catherine Neal. Until next time, take care. Bye for now.